Zorbapastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorbapastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorbapastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office.
But we're not virtual.
We're not. We're real.
We are real.
Here's the thing, Zorba. Our doctor's office has highly sensitive microphones and,
yes,
and a little Debbie snack
that's
cake
right.
that's been sitting
that's
here
right.
for a year.
She has been
so
here
it's not
for a
quite
year.
Virtual.
Hi,
I
Debbie.
All right, we're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few of your voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Is there a better sleeping position? We're going to talk about what sleeping position is best. What is your sleeping position, Carl?
You know what? Spoiler, I'm going to actually hold. You're going to have to wait,
all right.
listeners.
All right.
You're going to have
all
to
right.
wait on
all
that,
right.
and I'll
no
tell
spoil.
You.
Okay. And people exercise actually have healthier body fat. Believe it or not, body fat, belly fat specifically, is not the same in everyone, and there may be some issues with your fat may be better than your neighbor's fat. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And what's the special recipe today?
A special salad from a special restaurant, 1905 Colombian Salad. Mm. If you wonder why it's called 1905 and you wonder exactly what it is, you will have to stay tuned.
Another stay tuned moment.
Another
All right.
stay tuned moment. <That's>
to
right.
the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Our first caller joins us now from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi.
Well, hello. How are you two doing? And thank you.
Great. We're doing great. Thank you. So how can we help you?
What my question is, this time last year, around August, or rather it happened in June and the surgery was in August, I severed my Achilles tendon.
Huh.
And also severed the calf muscle and tore the meniscus.
Wow. So wait a minute. How'd you do all of that?
Unfortunately, it was a domestic violence situation, but I am healing from it.
Okay.
And I have a few questions in regard to that. For one thing is the doctor had to go in and he said he had to graft in some extra tendons into my leg.
Okay.
And what I continue to see is it's a line around my leg. They said it was possibly blood gathering where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me, it's a bad look.
And so that's on the lower part of your leg. Where is that line?
It's more so on the inside lower part.
Mm-hmm.
It's my left leg, and it's on the inside of the leg. And also, too, what I'm having problems with still is balance. Would any of this cause me to have balance problems? I find myself just kind of turning and just getting disoriented and moving differently. But just to let you know, before the injury, I was working out 4 hours a day, intense, everything like that. So I'm back up to about three and a half hours cycling, running, stairs.
Congratulations.
Things of that nature. Thank you. So it's been a long journey, but, you know, the balance is what my problem is.
So how many months ago was the injury?
The injury happened in June, and unfortunately, we thought it was a leg break, and it took a couple of weeks to get to the doctor because I was just on complete bed rest is what they wanted me on.
So it's quite a bit of time since there. So we're looking at an injury. So first of all, major injuries like that, first of all, any major injury, any sort, no matter what the doctor says, it takes 1 to 2 years to recover from a major injury. You might get 90% of the recovery after 3 to 6 months, but that other 10 to 20% takes a long time for the body to heal. So you are still within a healing plateau. That's really important, and it's important because it gives you hope for the future. And the hope is not false hope. It really does take. Years ago, I looked up, did research on this, and it takes longer than we think for that last 10 or 20%. That's number one. Number two, let's talk about the balance right now. One of the things you can do for balance, you've gone to physical therapy or not? Have you gone to PT?
Yes, I've spent a lot of time in physical therapy and doing a lot of yoga, mm-hmm. but my
excellent.
Yoga is
mm-hmm.
not what it used to be
right,
because of the
right,
balance.
Right. So Tai Chi is something to consider because Tai Chi, you know, is an ancient Chinese dance that's very, very good for balance, and that's really, really important. I'm going to a physical therapist that specializes in balance techniques and putting that into your routine is critical. But Tai Chi in and of itself is amazingly good for balance because it's slow movement. It's different than yoga. It's a different way of approaching it, and it'll make a difference. And once again, you're still in that healing plateau, and it's going to take a while before your body knows how to work because your body is different because you had this major, major injury. So Tai Chi is what I would recommend. But now the next step is the discoloration in your skin. That's a difficult issue. So what happens is when you had the injury, blood went into your skin and then goes into the external part of your skin, which you can see. And quite often that can take a while to get out. And unfortunately, in some cases, it doesn't go away. It can actually tattoo your skin. In other words, it can actually be something in your skin that'll stay there forever. But once again, it can take up to a year. After a year, if the skin doesn't look any different, it's probably going to be a scar and it's not going to look different. So the skin, I don't have much of an idea for the skin. I don't know what you can do for that other than use makeup on that skin if you're going out somewhere and you're concerned about how it looks.
And thank you for that. One additional question would be Charlie horses. I'm getting those, and they really
are. Oh, they're terrible. Aren't they awful?
With this injury.
They're terrible. Carol, do you get Charlie horses?
Every once in a while, maybe wrestling with the kids or something. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
They're
oh, yeah.
spasms.
Not
they're
fun.
Spasms that go on.
Yeah.
So when do you tend to get this? Is it morning, evening? When do you tend to get your Charlie horses? Or just
at night random? In the bed.
In the
sleeping
bed. Okay.
At night. Just as soon as I go to bed, anytime before I wake up, just absolute pain.
Two recommendations. Calf stretching exercises. So go to YouTube, look up calf stretching exercises to rehabilitate the Achilles tendon. Before you go to sleep, you do gentle stretching for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes to get that Achilles stretched out because that's usually part of what's going on in terms of the Charlie horse. So calf stretching exercises. And believe it or not, is something my mother would give me when I complain about Charlie horses as kids, warm milk. A little warm milk before you go to sleep at night.
Well,
may
being
help
an
you.
Extremely clean vegan, I'll have to find something
well,
else.
Warm, it could be warm oat milk. It could be warm oat milk. It's just something warm and comforting before you go to sleep.
Vegan.
Vegan, vegan, vegan. Okay. Good. Well, thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank
and
you.
I hope you're recovering from not just the injury itself, but the psychological aspects that any major injury like this occurs. So, you know, the best
yes,
to you for
you.
That, too. You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's do our first healthy living topic today. There's some new research on sleeping and what position is best to sleep in.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, right?
Yeah. What position? So what position do you sleep in? Okay.
You know what?
That's right.
I was
Go
looking
ahead.
At this study and I was thinking, I don't even know what position I sleep in.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
not even sure.
Well,
I, feel like,
position,
I think I just
well,
keep tossing
asleep.
And turning.
But what position do you start in? Is there one position?
I start on my back.
Start on your back.
Try to do a little breathing, you know, to calm down.
Breathing on your back? Like breathe, like you go... To, like, get yourself
I do
down?
Like this. I forget what it's called. Yeah. It's got numbers. It's like 7, 6, 4. I don't know. It's something where you breathe in for 7 seconds, hold it for 5
really?
Or something, and then breathe out for 8. It's something
really?
Like that.
Huh.
Someone let us know. Are those the right numbers?
What's your sleeping position? What's sleeping position?
Now?
Yeah, it's right now. But he's not sleeping
he's
now.
He's not. He's
that
on
is
it.
Terrible.
I start on my side. I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah, of course not.
See,
you're
who
asleep.
Knows what happens? Do you know what position do you sleep in?
I sleep on my side.
You
I
know
sleep
that
my
for
side.
Sure.
I don't
okay.
sleep on my back. I mean, yeah, I don't. It's hard for me to sleep on. I can't sleep on my back.
Gotcha.
I have difficulty. So or on my stomach.
What's the best?
Well, first of all, let's face it. The best sleeping position, first of all, is the one that puts you to sleep.
Asleep,
I mean, before
right?
we look at this, I mean, it's whatever you sleep. But people sleep different ways. So first of all, this is from research and the National Sleep Study. I know a bunch of, I'm just trying to picture the National Sleep Study when they're sitting in a conference room. Are they all asleep? Like they're all sleeping.
They're really good sleepers, I bet,
they're really
right?
good sleepers.
Because they know all the research.
Hey, and they say, how much sleep did you have? How much, they're probably looking at their iWatch, saying, I've got more sleep than you have.
Right.
It's competitive.
Sure.
I mean, it's like baseball, basketball, football, they're competitive sleepers. I can sleep more. Teenagers are the most competitive when it comes
good.
To sleep.
Yep.
Don't you think?
They're out in a second.
Or infants, when they're at a certain age, they'll sleep sometimes for 12 or 14 hours.
Yeah.
How long did you sleep when you were a teenager? I know, I'll get back to the study.
I could really sleep. Especially
really
in
sleep.
College, I could
that's
really
right.
sleep.
You could like
yeah.
really, really
I missed
really
a
sleep.
Lot of classes. Like,
well, that's missing Sky.
You know
that's,
that.
We're going to go over that, missing classes. That explains everything.
Yeah.
But now, while we're... So on the back, you have, they say, gravity working against you. And that is true. Your tongue tends to fall back on things and relax. There's more snoring when you're on your back, more prone to airway obstruction, big issue if you happen to have a sleep apnea. So on your back is probably not the best way to go to sleep. Once again, better on your back. And for people who snore, often if they put tennis balls on the back of their T-shirt when they're sleeping so they can't sleep on their back, that'll keep them from snoring. You ever heard that?
No, I've never heard of that.
Tennis balls.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
I don't know how
easy.
You do it. I remember that was sort of an old folktale, and I thought, I wonder how you actually attach a tennis ball to your back.
Yeah.
How would you do that? But you know what? I know where I would go. I would go to the web, and
sure.
I'm sure there are tennis balls. Let's get on with the
yeah.
study. Okay, so back sleeping is probably not the best for alignment. Left side is excellent for cardiovascular circulation, especially if you're pregnant, more circulation that goes to the uterus. And that's why left side sleeping is recommended in pregnancy.
Hmm.
Right side sleeping can also make heartburn symptoms worse. So right side is actually worse for GERD, heartburn, because you're more likely to have GERD. And there, so side sleeping with pillows all around you, little gap in the neck, which is often why you have pillows. Sometimes pillow between your legs can also make a difference. So the best sleeping position, A, whatever works for you, but B, on your side is probably the best.
What about stomach sleeping? Is that in there?
It was not in the article.
They didn't
I'm not going to discuss
that?
It.
You're not even going to talk
I'm
about
not
that.
Discussing stomach sleeping. That'll be in the next show. The next show or the show after that or after that or after that. And actually, we would like stomach sleepers to please send us an email, zorba@wpr.org. And if you have trouble sleeping, you've changed your sleeping position, and you have solved your sleeping problem, we want to know.
We do.
That's zorbapastor.org. Send us a note, and we will probably air it on the air.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Call us anytime. Leave a voicemail with your question. Let's go to one of those voicemails now. This is from an anonymous listener.
Hi, Zorba. I immigrated from West Africa about 40 years ago. I still cannot donate blood. Each time I go, they turn me away. What shall I do? Thank you.
Well, the Red Cross is very specific on what they allow and what they don't want to lose. So I have no idea why they don't want blood from you from West Africa. No idea at all. Because they have very, very arbitrary rules. So I'll give an example of their arbitrary rules. At the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, they did not allow men who had sex with men to donate blood. Mm-hmm. Anyone. Men who had sex with men, because that's really was part of the AIDS epidemic. And even though we're now able to look for HIV/AIDS, even though we now know every single blood donator is checked for HIV/AIDS, and it's 100%, and is close to 100%, if not 100% assured, because there's no evidence there's HIV in the blood supply at all. So what the Red Cross does works. Even though that's the fact, they have still put up obstacles for gay men to donate blood, and that's a huge portion of the population. So the Red Cross has arbitrary rules to keep the blood supply what it is. There's some reason that they're saying that you cannot donate blood, and frankly, that's the way it goes.
We don't have enough information on that.
Well, we don't have enough information, and the reality is, even if you went to the Red Cross website, they only post some of their rules because there are other rules they have there, and they can answer the question at the Red Cross. Probably. They may just say, we don't accept it from that country. Why? I don't know. You know, there may, I really don't know. Once again, it's arbitrary, and it has to do with the possibility that it may infect other people. And it may not have anything to do with HIV/AIDS. I'm only giving that as an example. It may be a parasite that was in that particular country at that time, or something called Marburg virus, which is a different viral issue that occurred in different places in Africa. And unfortunately, these arbitrary rules are applied to everyone.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we take a break, Zorba, it's time to hear once again from...
No, my guess. Grammar Police.
That's right.
I stay awake at light. I stay awake at night, not at light. I stay awake at night thinking about the Grammar Police and when are they going to get home, really. Last thing I think about before I go to sleep is... am I pronouncing my snoring correctly so they don't come into my bedroom and say, you're not doing the right snore, you don't have the right columns? Please, go on.
Okay, let's hear from them. This is from the Grammar Police.
Oh, now it's the Grammar Police.
Believe me, one day I'm going to sing. It's going to be a high falsetto, and I am going to knock out that song.
You knock it out every time, I feel like. You say you. One day you're going to sing. You do it almost every time.
Thank you so much.
I love it.
Thank you so
much. All right,
much.
I lied. It's actually, this one's from the Pasta Police.
You mean that I sang well? It's not really very nice. Could at least wait a second before you say you lied.
This is, Zorba, this is from the Pasta Police.
Pasta
I feel like
police.
We've heard from them before.
Occasionally.
Maybe. This is from Lonnie in Middleton, Wisconsin, who writes, Dr. Pastor and Carl, you two crack me up.
Yes.
And you work very well together.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lonnie.
Thank you.
When you two do your recipes, invariably, Carl campaigns heavily for bow tie pasta.
Oh, really?
This is a deep analysis of our recipes. Yeah, I like
well,
this.
Well, it's a deeply held belief.
It is. Oh, yeah.
By you.
Go bow tie.
For bow tie.
All right. Right. He must have some strong childhood memory associated with it.
Probably.
I don't know that that's correct, but I just like how they look. They're so fancy and formal.
Ask your mom.
Okay. I'll ask her about the bow tie pasta.
You're going to do a follow-up on that,
okay.
Right? Yeah. You could get her on the phone now, probably.
Sure, that would be a
that'd be a hard sell.
I think she's. Yeah. I don't know.
She's
we'll
busy.
Yeah,
she's
she doesn't busy. Answer pasta questions. Yeah. Lonnie said, "When I graduated from college, that was her advice to me. She was like, do good things, be kind.
That's right.
And by the way, I do not answer pasta questions, and right. sent
that's,
me off. And,
that's it. That's
so, anyways, it. Lonnie says,
goodbye,
you both,
honey.
You both frequently say, quote, use whatever pasta you want.
That's
and,
true.
And yeah, you say that. We say that all the time.
Right.
Nope, read this.
Oh.
And then Lonnie sent a link to a guide of all the various shapes of pastas and their various uses.
Okay.
They kind of hold sauce differently, like the tubes kind of hold.
There's
all
kinds
of different
uses. They do hold sauce.
This is the Pasta Police.
That's right. Yeah.
Lonnie says, the reason there are so many types of pasta is because different sauces and foods work better with each shape.
Yes.
So I figured.
And they sell.
That's true.
Come on. Bow ties sell.
It's
you
an
look
aesthetics
at a bow tie
thing,
sell.
Yeah.
There's aesthetics.
Yeah.
And then there's what it actually does.
Right.
But go on.
So I figured I'd better let you know before some angry Nana shows up in your kitchen.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't want any angry Nanas.
I don't want a Nana in my kitchen. No.
Did you have an angry Nana?
Yeah, one of my nanas was angry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she would get angry. Yeah, she'd get angry at the TV set.
But not about pasta?
No, she didn't. No, not about pasta. She wasn't a pasta nana.
Okay.
No pasta nana. No pasta nana in our house.
Pasta nana. That sounds like a song.
Let's finish the letter.
Okay, that's actually the end of the letter right there.
Okay.
Yeah, what is your response, Zorba?
Well, first of all, absolutely right.
Okay.
Because when I looked at good Italian recipes from Italian chefs, they do sometimes recommend, because there are differences in pasta and how it holds the sauce.
Sure.
However, there still are arbitrary reasons to use something like bow tie pasta. When I have my grandchildren over at the house, if I serve bow tie pasta, I rock.
It's a hit.
And you know what?
Every time.
I'm going to do it that
way.
There
you go. Whatever works for you. Whatever gets them to eat.
That's right.
Did you catch a mistake we made on the show? A penne for your thoughts. That's a pasta.
I know.
Yeah, you
knew
that.
I got it.
Post your thoughts.
It was falling flat as a joke.
Just didn't like it at all.
No, it's okay.
I don't know if I did either.
I just didn't want to laugh at it.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Post your thoughts to Facebook.
Sometimes I don't want to laugh at your jokes.
That's a revelation. Folks, sometimes Zorba doesn't like to laugh.
Zorba at WPR.org. And you can call us anytime. And don't forget, we are on Facebook.
More of your calls to come, more of your emails, and we'll be putting together a very tasty salad. All of that coming up on Zorba Pasture on Your Health. From PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck's studio. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm looking at Dr. Zorba right across the desk from me. He's right over there.
I'm here.
He's here. He's got a cool hat on.
It's a rugby shirt.
It is a rugby. It's a color block striped rugby shirt.
Yeah, it's a rugby shirt.
Very cool
shirt. It's a rugby
shirt
from New Orleans.
New Orleans shirt. Looks cozy. I like it. Yes. Anyways, if you have a question for the good doc, 800-462-7413. Call anytime. That's
800-462-7413.
Perfect. You nailed that one.
I did.
Before we get back to the call, Zorba, let's do our recipe. This is 1905 Colombian salad.
So a little bit of history.
I'll give you some backstory on the salad. This is a salad. The 1905 salad, I'm just going to read this, was invented by a waiter named Tony Noriega at the Columbia restaurant in the Tampa Bay area of Florida. He was working late at the restaurant one night and used some leftovers he had in the fridge to create what the restaurant now serves tableside at the restaurant. So I've been to one of the locations of the Columbia restaurant, the one in Sarasota, actually, a couple times. And this salad is so good, I wanted to put on the show. It's really, really good salad.
By the way, this particular origin story is similar to the Cobb salad.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, the Cobb salad.
Right. You just grab what you have, right?
The Top Hat restaurant, and there are a couple of theories about the Cobb salad. Did it come from this person or that person?
Right.
Did it come from the chef or the owner of the restaurant? And then all of a sudden it kicks off. And this is a wonderful salad. I mean, it really is. It really is nice. It's nice to make different types of salad because they're great. So we're going to start out with the dressing, which is the key issue with this salad. 4 garlic cloves minced.
4 garlic cloves minced.
2 teaspoons of dried oregano.
2 little tea dried oregano.
2 tablespoonfuls of Worcestershire sauce. 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil. Moving on.
1/2 cup extra virgin olive oil.
Your favorite. Do you have more than one extra virgin olive oil in this?
Yeah, we have one for cooking, which is like a bulkier one, and then a smaller,
and
more
some
gourmet
are more robust
one
robust than
dipping.
Others. There really is a difference in taste, and if you like extra virgin olive oil, get a few different kinds, even small containers, and taste them. 3 tablespoonfuls of white wine vinegar.
3 big tea white wine vinegar.
4 tablespoonfuls of fresh lemon juice.
4 big tea fresh lemon juice.
1/2 cup of kosher salt.
1/2 teaspoon
I'm sorry.
Of kosher. That'd
excuse
be a lot of salt.
Right.
Imagine 1/2 cup of salt.
1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt. I misspoke.
The salt
police.
Half a little tea
that's
kosher
right.
salt.
1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper.
All right. Let's make the salad.
Now
portion.
The salad. A head of iceberg lettuce rinsed. Rinsed and sliced.
All right.
Rinsed
and
sliced.
Yeah.
Iceberg.
Okay. Head of iceberg lettuce.
Okay. 1 large ripe tomato sliced.
Okay. 1 large ripe tomato sliced.
Now, 1/2 cup of ham slices, julienne, cut in a julienne sliced way, about 5 slices.
Okay. 1/2 cup of ham slices, julienne.
1/2 cup of Swiss cheese, again, julienne.
1/2 cup of Swiss cheese, julienne.
1/2 cup of green olives, which are chopped, you know, obviously pitted and chopped.
All right. 1/2 cup of green olives.
Could have that Camino in between if you want to. And 1/4 cup of Pecorino Romano grated or grated Parmesan cheese.
All right, half a cup of Pecorino Romano or Parmesan cheese.
All right, step number one, make the dressing. Whisk the garlic, dried oregano, Worcestershire sauce in a bowl. Gradually add in the olive oil, whisking constantly to form sort of an emulsion. Then stir in the vinegar, lemon juice, salt and pepper. Whisk it until it's thoroughly combined. You're done with that part. Now assemble the salad. Place the iceberg lettuce, then the sliced tomatoes, then the julienne ham, then the Swiss cheese, then the green olives in a large bowl. Got it all in a large bowl. Mm-hmm. Put it in layers. Drizzle the salad with the dressing. Toss it a little bit to combine it. And then put the Romano cheese or Parmesan cheese on top and serve. Do it fresh. Do it at the table.
Simple.
Just like they do
for
at
your
the
family,
restaurant.
Right?
Just have your family bring it all to the table. Do it at the table and serve it automatically. Well, maybe with your family.
Yeah.
If you want a copy of this, go to our website, ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org. Of course, through Facebook.
Back to the phones at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's try to help out a caller now in Maryville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi. Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking my call.
You are most welcome.
My question is, I had a knee replacement in February of 22. I did have difficulty bending it afterwards, so I had a manipulation in May.
Okay, sure.
I did physical therapy 3 times a week from February through August, mm-hmm. and continued my other activities, gym several times a week, dog walking twice daily, and volunteering at a local animal shelter.
What kind of dog? I'm a dog person, so I always have to ask what kind of
Zorba
dog.
Zorba has to know.
That's right, what kind of dog. I mean, dog people always know what kind of dog. Smart dog?
My Chiweenie is very smart and very manipulative, and my American Eskimo is very needy.
Different personality. So you do a lot. Yeah. You move around a lot. You've had a knee replacement, and then you needed a manipulation to get it to full extension or flexion.
To
or both.
Actually bend. I had had a problem with the laying it flat, that came very easily, but the bend.
The bend was the tough part. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And so now here we are in October of 2024, and I still can't really bend it.
Mm-hmm. How much can you bend
too late to get any improvement. Why?
No. How much can you bend it now?
Barely 90 degrees.
Barely 90 degrees. Oh, that really is significant. So what does the physical therapist say?
Well, I haven't seen the physical therapist for this since I finished in August of 2022. And at that time, it was marginally better, but I thought it would continue to improve with day-to-day living, and it kind of reverted.
Well, first of all, a couple of things. When it comes to joint replacements, when it comes to hip replacements, we're dynamite. People get a hip replacement because it's ball and socket. They often do very, very well. They're often out the next day, and their recovery is really quick. When it comes to knee replacements, it's a horse of a different color. And roughly 20% of the people, from the data that I've read, with knee replacements then are unhappy in one or more way with the knee replacement. In other words, we're not as good with knee replacements. Now, why are we not as good? It's probably multifactorial. It may be the way the knee replacements, the design right now may be an issue, the way the body recovers. I think surgeons, if you go to a surgeon that does this all the time, I think the surgeons on the whole are really good. But I think the recovery can be very spotty for that. And I think you're in that recovery, you're in that 20-30%, you know, where they say it's not the same as my regular knee. So the first question is, can you do something about it? Well, my answer is, well, try. The first step. So I think what I would do is I would go back to the physical therapist. I would go back to a physical therapist. I would ask also the orthopod, the orthopedic surgeon who did the knee, who would you recommend as a physical therapist who deals with problem knees? Because there may be one group that is more likely to say, look, we see a lot of problem knees, and let's work on it this way. Because even if you can get, you may not get full flexion, but even if you get 5 or 10 degrees of increased flexion, that in and of itself can make a difference.
Okay.
And the second thing is, with the orthopedic surgeon, does it make a difference to do another, where you're asleep, and then they move the knee back and forth? And that's probably what it is. There are people who then have another knee replacement. That is, of course, the last thing you want to do unless you absolutely have to do it. Does that help?
So the manipulation at this point in time might still be beneficial?
Maybe, but I would do physical therapy first. That's what I would do. I mean, I like to start the way I like to start things. What's most conservative? No harm, no foul. If that fails, what's the next thing, which might be a manipulation? Orthopedic surgeon may say, look,
very painful.
It's very painful, but on the other hand, once again, I'd give 12 weeks of physical therapy before I would even go to step number two. Step number two is really, does a manipulation help or not? And then if that fails and you're still not feeling good, and then you have to decide, am I going to have a different knee replacement? And usually when people are dysfunctional, they make that decision, but that's a great big giant decision. And that comes down the line. Try conservative first.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for that information. I didn't quite know where to start, so it's very, very helpful.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the call. I enjoy listening to both you and Carl.
Great. Take care.
You too. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. Let's try to help out a caller in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin.
I have been diagnosed with tinnitus by my primary care provider. I have to see an ENT, and they made an appointment for me in March of next year. That was the first opening. I can't see. I can't sleep with this. I am exhausted. Do you have any suggestions for people with this problem? Is there medication for this? I am using a fan for white noise. Hope you can help. And thank you for doing this. And thank you for all the people that you've helped.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Difficult problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a cure? No, there is no cure. Is there a treatment? Well, you go online and you'll see white noise generating, which is what she does. She runs a fan. You want to have your ear looked at to see whether or not there's an infection or fluid there. Unlikely there's an infection. Unlikely that there's fluid. But that's where this, you know, appointment with ENT, if it takes forever to get in there, then what you want to do is find out from your insurance where you can go to another ENT doctor and have somebody look in your ear. Most likely, they're not going to find anything in your ear. There is some research recently on noise-canceling earphones for tinnitus. So in other words, it puts in different noise that sort of then makes the tinnitus less bothersome. I've read about them. The research is pretty spotty about it. They're pretty expensive. But a cognitive behavioral therapy actually works.
Oh.
So cognitive behavioral therapy, getting on top of that, really works. For me, at one time, I was really bothered by it, and so I wrote my primary doctor, said I want to have some CBT for tinnitus. And interestingly, as soon as I wrote him, I started thinking about the fact that I think I can deal with this. And then I looked at some websites, and now it doesn't bother me as much. So,
okay.
I mean, because it's actually always there. So I don't have an absolute answer, but number one, try to find another ENT doc. Ask your doctor about it. First thing I do when I walk in the house is I turn on the radio, public radio, because when that's in the background, I don't hear the tinnitus, and I like listening to whatever is saying. So there are lots of ways that you can do it. There's no surgery for it.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, as you well know, we have doctors who listen to the show, right? You know that.
Of course.
And quite often, they'll send us emails offering up their take on something we discussed here. So we decided to create a segment for this that we call Doctor to Doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
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 This makes me laugh.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
Doctor to doctor. It's doctor to doctor.
Whenever I hear this, I think so dumb.
Yeah.
But I think about, there were a series of movies when I was a kid called Carry On Nurse.
I've never heard of
and
that.
Carry On Nurse. There must have been 5 or 10 movies. They were black and white movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were comedy movies about a doctor and a hospital and a nurse. And
okay.
It was Carry On Nurse and comedy movies. And the fact that you've never heard about it, meaning that obviously they were so dumb and stupid that they're never replayed again. And the music was something like this.
Oh, really?
This musical, Carrie Ann Nurse. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I looked that one up. Yeah. I might look that one up. I won't even commit to looking
Carrie
it up.
Carrie Ann Nurse.
Carrie Ann Nurse. Mm-hmm. All right, the following email came from a doctor named Ron, who writes, "Dear Zorba, I love the show, but I have a small bone to pick with you, slightly smaller than a wishbone." If I remember correctly, you told the 73...
You know, these comedians,
Doctors and comedians. Every doctor wants to be a comedian.
Everyone's a comedian these days.
Yeah. All right. Ron says, if I remember correctly, you told the 73-year-old bodybuilding woman that a sodium level gradually decreasing to 130 was not a trend. But you ignored two elements of her story. One, at age 73, she was striving to be a serious athlete. And two, she was drinking at least twice the recommended volume of daily water. Mm-hmm. That's a gallon of water. This suggests to me that she might be suffering from exercise-associated hyponatremia.
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 That's right.
I didn't get that right.
Pronunciation police.
They'll come next.
No, I took care of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, don't email. Mm-hmm. As a pediatrician, I see occasional creatine-addicted kids with headaches and fatigue.
Creatinine.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Even I know that's creatine. I'm planning on obtaining sodiums on them in the future. What
sodium,
do you think about
that? Sodium.
Sodium. Future? I got future, right? All right. How about Ron? Did I get Ron right?
Well, first of all, he has a good point. I don't remember exactly what advice I gave her because I don't remember every advice. And this is somebody whose sodium may be somewhat low but is somewhat within the levels. Mm-hmm. And then you have to see, are you on a diuretic or are you overhydrating? He brings up an important point that I didn't really realize. She might have been overhydrating. And that really is a problem with hyponatremia where people do take too much water. And if you look at issues with marathon runners, amateur marathon runners can suffer from hyponatremia significant by overhydration. So he brings up a really good point. You know, 8 glasses roughly a day. If you're doing twice that much, you may actually be causing hyponatremia, low sodium, which really isn't good for you. So there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. In this case, water.
Have a comment or healthy living question for the good doc? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
We have much more of the show to come. We'll have more of your calls. We'll tackle another interesting healthy living topic and more of your emails as well. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Christensen in Buck Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and there's Zorba right across the desk from me.
I'm
right
here.
There. He's still here.
I am
Believe
still
it or
here.
Not, he's still
yep,
here.
That's
and if,
me.
If you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. But first, Zorba, let's do another healthy living topic. There's some new study here, new research on people who exercise have healthier belly fat.
Yeah, belly fat. So belly fat is actually a big issue. It's not just an issue from a cosmetic point of view, but we now know that belly fat, especially as you get older, and especially in men, can be an indicator of significant cardiovascular disease. Mm. There's a lot of issues that have to do with belly fat. Now, why? When men become overweight, they tend to have more fat in their belly. When women become overweight, they tend to have more fat in their buttocks. Hmm. We don't actually understand what the difference is. We also know that men are more likely to have cardiovascular disease than women. Women have a lot of it, but men have more of it. And we think part of it is belly fat. We know that one of the risk factors, instead of BMI that we should look at, is abdominal girth at the navel. In other words, we should be looking at that more and more. But this particular study shows all fat is not the same. Now, I want to go back to aside for a minute. There's some people, men more than women, who I call genetic celebrities. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're just smiling.
I've heard you say that before.
Genetic celebrities.
I like that term.
They don't have a lot of subcutaneous fat. They have six-pack abs. And basically, they have six-pack abs, among other things, because they don't have a lot of subcutaneous fat. I've never seen research to see whether or not they have less heart disease because they have less belly fat. I don't know if there's research out there. I've never seen this. But this particular study looked at people who exercise and what their fat was like. And it turns out people who exercise have more blood vessels in their fat and appear now, this is from biopsies, to have less inflammation going on in their fat tissue. So why is that important? Well, it's important because we know that inflammation is part of death from heart disease. There's something called C-reactive protein. You may have heard of it. Yeah. Something we can measure. Well, now you've heard of it.
Now I have.
Yeah, now you've heard of it. Because C-reactive protein and cardiac C-reactive protein is slightly different from other types of C-reactive protein. And we know that that appears to play a risk factor for heart disease. So it may be that even if you have belly fat, if you have exercise, you have less inflammation, maybe less C-reactive protein, and maybe that's part of why people who exercise, even if they're overweight, have less heart attacks and heart disease. So all fat is not the same. Now, still, belly fat appears to be a risk factor for heart disease, but it's even more important for people who have belly fat, especially men, to exercise on a regular basis because they're changing the blood vessels in their belly and decreasing the inflammation of that fat, which may indeed be one of the risk factors for heart disease and stroke.
Back to the phones at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's try to help out a caller now in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
All right. I just heard it on Wait, Don't Tell Me. I just wanted to find out if the Blue Zones people really are living longer, or is it just the fact that they're children and grandchildren are collecting the pension, saying that they're that old.
Well, for listeners who might now know what Blue Zone is, it's a phrase that was coined sometime in the early 2000s about researchers that looked at areas where people appear to live longer. Sardinia was one of the places, areas in Greece, Okinawa, Loma Linda, California, and then there have been a number of cookbooks that have been published about that. So it's become a term, a moniker for people who live longer. And then the question is, statistically, what actually is occurring, and are people really living longer in this? What do they eat? How do they exercise? And how does that affect us? So first of all, we have to look at statistics. Statistics are sometimes a little flawed, like Okinawa is one of the places where they looked at it, but a lot of the records were destroyed during the war, you know, so during World War II. So the numbers are not great. Then you look at Italy and other places, and there are some questions as to whether or not these people really existed or didn't exist, and there are a number of studies, kind of discussions about the fact that maybe a lot of this was made up. And I wrote a book years ago called The Longevity Code, your personal prescription for a longer, sweeter life. And that was before Blue Zones really came out. It was definitely before they actually came out and became there. And it turns out a lot of the people who were supposedly much older actually lied about their age and their numbers really weren't there. This was not an uncommon thing. And it was to collect pensions or simply to say, hey, I'm 110 years old, when in reality is they were not 110 years old. They were 89 years old. But they look like 110 years old. So I think you're exactly right. This was not a scientific study. On the other hand, most of the information that comes in there about the fact that we should have a more vegetarian diet, we should look at other things that may improve longevity. Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda, California seem to have more longevity. They're sober. They eat a more vegetarian diet. I think all those things are good. But I think the Blue Zone itself, well, maybe there's a little bit of hanky-panky that's going on from what I've read. So I agree with what they said on Wait, Don't Tell Me, the great NPR show, that there's a question as to whether or not the Blue Zones are real. Now, I've got a question for you. Have you noticed this because you're trying to follow a more Blue Zone diet?
Oh, certainly. And I'm old. I'm 68, so I'm not dead yet, but I'm trying to make it to 78 or 88.
Now, let me tell you something. At the age of 77, I do not call 68 old. I call 68 young. So doing something, exercising, going to boot camp, and following a more vegetarian-type diet, and I'm an omnivore, really does make a difference. Eating the right type of protein, which is fish protein, which we know is better than beef protein. But, of course, if you live in Wisconsin, you still have to have the occasional brat when you're watching the Packers.
Yes, I do cheat on the weekends.
There you go. That's right. I call living it up. Living it up.
Excellent. All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Zorba. And I hope we hear you soon in Milwaukee on WEWM.
Thank you. Thanks much. Take care now.
All right.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, it's time to scroll through the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page for another edition of Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback.
All right, Zorba, this message came from Nicole in Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole writes, "Please, Dr. Zorba, help. I listen to your show every week, and I would love to know how to get rid of smelly feet. My husband has this issue, and now my son does. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me." Yeah.
Yeah, Lord.
So help her.
Drysol, D-R-Y-S-O-L. Drysol, which is what you put on your feet. You can get it, I think, without a prescription now. It used to be only with a prescription. Sort of a super antiperspirant for your feet. Decreases sweating. Follow the instructions. Talk to the pharmacist. It makes a big difference. That's number one. Number two, there are certain socks that you can buy, which are anti-sweat socks. And they're made of, I don't know what they're made of, but it's some sort of an acrylic, which actually reduces the moisture, which is really what's causing it. Changing your socks during the day makes a difference. Try to get your son to change your socks. Good luck. In the middle of the day, getting your husband to change your sock. Put those socks in a Ziploc bag and seal it. But basically, the Drysol, the reduction of sweating in the feet, you can do it. It really does make a difference. And then you will live happily ever after. It's a Disney thing.
Do you have a healthy living question for the good doc?
Happily ever after. And they lived happily ever after.
You like
did
that?
Did they really? Well, I think about it. You know, after the you know, the princess and the prince get married, they live happily ever after. They never talk about what happens when they have children.
No.
Right?
Or when their children's feet stink.
That's right.
Disney goes right past that.
1-800-462-7413.
Wait, I got to do this first. Do you have a healthy living question for the good doc? His expert advice could be just what the doctor ordered. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
zorba@wbr.org.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to voicemail now. This is from a listener in California who has a suggestion for helping with joint pain.
Hi, Smoke Remedy. Joint pain, all kind of joint pain, especially knee pain. WD-40, rubbing those sore joints, and it penetrates down to where that pain is, and it literally disappears.
What do you think of that? WD-40.
But I have to tell you. I have to tell you, WD-40 was a common treatment for knee pain and joint pain back in the 80s. I would have farmers in my office because I'm in a rural community, and they would come in, and they would come in their overalls, and I could tell if they were using WD-40. And you know why? No. You would see stains on the overalls.
Oh, okay.
You would see WD-40 stains on the overalls. You'd come in, and I'd say, "Are you using WD-40? They said, "How could you tell?" It's like a magician. Yeah. I said, look at your knees and your overall. Does it work? Well, it's a folk remedy. Does it work? I think years ago, people said I used it. It fell out of favor.
And
I'm talking about 30 years ago.
It's okay.
I would wash my hands, but if you spray, I mean, don't you use WD-40? Do you use it around the house?
Sure. Use a little nozzle, a little straw thing.
It's got the little smell to it that they put in the oil.
Yeah, it's not a bad smell.
Is it safe to use? Well, I mean, you got to make sure you don't swallow it.
Sure.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do it. Folk remedy. You know, some folk remedies work.
Right.
If you want to try it, do that. But remember, it will stain your clothes. I'm just warning you, and you will not get it out in the washing machine. So wear the right clothes if you're using WD-40.
800-462-7413. That's 800 462-7413. All right, before we punch out today's Zorba, we love when our listeners contribute their healthy living tips to the show. The following email came from Nora in Ocando, Wisconsin. Nora writes, Dr. Zorba, thank you for all you do, and I'm very grateful for your show. I look forward to it every week.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's nice.
That's very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
There's more to the email, though. This is in response to your and Carl's discussion about earworms.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work in a profession where I had regular contact with the mentally ill and people in crisis. I heard a mental health professional once share with a patient a trick to help get rid of intrusive thoughts or earworms.
Okay.
It was to count.
To count.
And if counting in regular succession didn't completely eradicate it, then counting backwards would probably do it.
Uh-huh.
Over the years, I shared that bit of stolen wisdom with other patients, and they told me it generally helped them.
Oh. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Interesting.
So counting.
Yeah, counting.
So
maybe prime numbers that would also work.
Then you're really thinking,
yeah.
Have you tried this at all, you think?
Because
you get earworms, right?
I get
right?
earworms, yeah. I get earworms, yeah.
And I've asked you about earworms before.
Yes, I get earworms.
And let's give this method a try.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay.
Let's give Nora's method a try.
Okay.
So you told me in a previous discussion, one of your personal earworms is a song by Frank Sinatra.
By the,
it's called My Kind of Town.
Right.
So first, to do this experiment, we got to get the song stuck. It's already, you didn't have to play it. It's already stuck.
I got it.
Well, let's just get it extra stuck. So let's hear that song real quick, Brad.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is
my kind of town.
Chicago.
All right, it's stuck now, right? It's got to be.
It was stuck before you played it. That's right.
I didn't need to play
before,
it, but
that's
now,
right.
It's,
no, you didn't.
Now it's really
stuck. It's definitely
stuck.
There. It's definitely stuck.
Okay.
That's right. It's right
so
there. That's right.
Let's get it unstuck by using Nora's method. You want to try counting backwards from, what, 20? Where do we start?
Sure, 20.
Okay.
Sounds good. Okay.
Okay, go for it.
Ready?
Yeah,
20,
go.
19, 18, 17, 16. 15, 14, 13.
Riveting radio.
12.
This is a new show where we just count.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, is it out?
No,
it's
not
still
at
there.
All. It's still there.
There.
It's still there.
Oh, man.
But while I was counting, it was out.
Okay, so it was temporarily.
Actually,
relief.
You know what? No, it's not there.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Nora was
right.
So I can
count down from 20. Now, but I've got another question.
Yeah.
Why do I want it out of my head?
Yeah, you like that. You're a Chicago guy.
It's
you
okay.
love that song.
I like it. But, you know, it's counting backwards from the number 20 actually did get rid of the earworm. Maybe it's counting.
That's
makes
cool.
a difference. Because sometimes when I'm concentrating on something, I actually want to get rid of the earworm. Do you have earworms?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
But when I want to concentrate and do something, they are intrusive.
For sure.
And that would especially occur when I was taking tests in college or in medical school, there would be an earworm interfering with my ability to actually, you know, concentrate on tests. But that is a great idea. Thank you.
Thanks, Nora.
Thank you.
Great idea.
Thank you.
Do you have a healthy living
tip? By the way, would you like a copy of the song? We can send it to her.
Send it to her?
Yeah, we can send it.
Then she'll get it stuck in her head and she'll have to use her own method.
I don't think so. It's my earworm.
Okay. All right. Everyone's got their own earworm. Let's hear about yours. Email us. If you have an earworm you want to share
please,
with us, send
please.
Us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
Absolutely.
All right. If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime.
Anytime.
Leave us your question at
800-462-7413.
Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.